So, this is Rachel, and I'm recording the StoryCorps Great Thanksgiving Listen project. And I'm in Virginia, and my grandpa is in Colorado. Say hi, Grandpa.
Hi. This is Grandpa.
Okay. So, where did you live growing up, and what was it like?
Oh, that's a pretty open question. I was born at home in a place called Westwood. It wasn't in Denver at that time. It was outside Denver, Colorado. And I lived there for... I lived in Westwood for a number of years, but when I was in grade school, I moved to downtown Denver. And so my years that I mostly remember, I was in downtown Denver. About 10 to 12 years old, I started shining shoes. And we would go into bars and places like that. In those days, you could do it when you were that young. And we would shine people's shoes. And I also worked on a corner selling a newspaper. This newspaper was a nickel back then. And so then I worked there for a while, and I started sweeping floors for a drugstore and sidewalks for a drugstore that was there when I was probably 12 or 13. It's, you know, very pretty young. And then I worked there for a lot of years. I don't know the years exactly, but when I was in high school, I think when I was probably a junior in high school, or maybe even a sophomore, I'm not real sure, probably a junior in high school, my parents moved. And so I continued to work at the drugstore 35 hours a week and was going to high school. And then at that time I lived in a little apartment or with just one room that had a stove. And I don't know if it had a refrigerator or not, but anyway, had a little gas two-burner stove, and if you went to the lavatory or went to take a bath or something, you had to go down the hall, and there was a shared bathroom down there with all the people that rented rooms on that floor, which are probably 10, I don't know. At any rate, then I got out of high school and I went to University of Colorado for a year. Wasn't mature enough to make it, and so I got out of there and went to work for the, I worked different jobs, but pretty quick I went to work for Colorado Southern Railroad as a switchman. And I worked as a switchman for, a number of months. Until they got to the slow season, and what they did then was when they got to the slow season, some of the people would be laid off to be called back later. And I worked there for, I'm not sure, maybe 9 months, and I was laid off then for the winter, for the slow season. And I got a job at Gates Rubber Company. And at Gates Rubber Company, I worked in a braided hose department, feeding a braider. And I didn't work there very long until one of my brothers and I decided to go into the military. And so I told the people there that I was going to the military and told the people on the railroad I was going to the military. And then, so we went in the military, and I was in the Army for 3 years. And most of the time, I was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the home of the 101st Airborne. For a while I was a machine gunner, and then I decided that was not what I wanted to do. So I went and asked them for a job in administration. And so they gave me a job. My MOS was a 716, a personnel specialist. And, you know, what I did was I was in charge of people's pay. And I went to a pay school in Indiana. And so that was my job. After probably the first year in the Army, my job was to figure people's pay. And so it was a pretty decent job. I spent those 3 years then in the Army and came out of the Army and went back to work for a job that I kept mentioning. Right after I quit working for the drugstore, I went to work for a car dealership. And so I came out of the Army and decided I really had a choice at that point. I could go back to work for the railroad because I had seniority. In those days, they held your seniority. Or I could go back to work for Gates Railway Company because they, too, held your seniority. So if you were in the military. So I got out of the military in April 1962. So, you know, technically I'm a Vietnam veteran, but in reality I was in the very early stages of the Vietnam War. And so I was not in Vietnam, and I did not in any way participate in that. So really I'm not legitimately a Vietnam veteran. At any rate, then I decided to go back to work for the railroad. I went back to work for the railroad, but I went back to O'Meara Motors and worked days and nights at the railroad. And so I was saving money to go to school. In the meantime, you know, after some months, I met my present wife, and we started dating, and we got married, and I worked both places and started back to school, and continued at school and working. And then in 1963 also, we got married in 63, and then in 63, we started going to Baptist Church in Arvada, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver. And so I was not too long before the pastor that was there left, and so over the course of just a few years, I started also preaching, and I would, you know, have to preach and go to school and work, and then in the course of time, we had two children, two girls, and I went to school, got the GI Bill, and worked. Finished college. Then I started teaching mathematics at Denver Public Schools. Some of the time I taught mathematics, some of the time I was what they called a specialist. And my job was then I scheduled the school. You know, I knew at that time the district had one big mainframe computer, and so I built the schedule for the schools, and I had a number of schools I did that. You know, and really, I didn't build a schedule. What I did was I put the schedule on a computer, and so the computer could print out the classes and all those things, grades and classes and all that. So the time I taught mathematics, some of the time I did that, and you know, in 1992, the Denver Public Schools had an early retirement. And so I waited and decided probably that was the best thing for me. And so I retired when I was 55 from the schools. But in the meantime, I bought a couple of fourplexes and involved in that. And in that also, in that meantime, I was called a pastor of the church, and so I was the pastor of the church. So I retired from teaching school, and have pastored the church and did a number of other things in the meantime, since 1992. I sold real estate for a while. Then when we started building a new church building, I quit that and went and got the city to give me a general contractor's license, and so I was a general contractor on our church building, and so that took me a couple of years, pretty much full time. Then after that, I continued to pastor the church and take care of rental property that I have. So my later years, I don't know, maybe they haven't been as eventful. So that's kind of the story of my life.
Okay. So when you were in the military still and you were getting out, did the Vietnam War have any impact on that decision, or was it just the timing that you decided?
My 3 years were up, and I had done lots of really fun things in the military, like many people would go in for volunteer for a while. When the opportunity comes for them to get out, I got out. Vietnam was just starting. Nobody had any idea what it was going to be, there were very few troops involved in it at that point, and it was more, looked at more as just maybe a policing job for a little while, and it didn't look like it was going to really be what it turned out to be. So it didn't have any effect at all. I was pretty surprised because I had 6 years of inactive reserve that I got when I got out of the military. And so after the fact, particularly, I was really surprised I was not called back to active duty.
Okay. So if you stayed in a little bit longer enough for Vietnam to really get going, do you think you might have been called to the front lines or something?
Yeah, I'm sure that the outfit I was in the 101st Airborne, they went to Vietnam. I would have gone to Vietnam.
Okay. So, a little farther back with your first couple jobs, you had your own apartment, everything. Did you have any spare money to do anything with it, or?
I had money to buy clothes, and I had money to pay for my apartment, and I had money to eat. So I got paid a dollar an hour for being working at a soda fountain in that drugstore.
Wow.
And, I didn't have any money left over, but, I had money to do things in high school and to eat and all the things I did. So, but I worked 35 hours a week, so that's almost a full-time job.
That's a lot of work time for only a dollar an hour.
Well, a dollar an hour was worth a lot more money then. At that time, I was getting paid a dollar an hour. A malted milk was 25 cents. A Coke was 5 cents. A Snickers bar was 5 cents.
Wow.
Hamburger was about 25 cents a pound. So everything was just different. Wages were lower, but the cost of living was lower. I don't remember how much rent I paid a month, so I really can't say that, I guess.
Okay. So with all your different jobs and stuff, did you really have any nicknames, and what were they and why?
No, they did. Everybody's always just called me Willie.
Okay. Is there certain people in your life that were really important and meaningful to you that really had an impact on you?
Yeah, probably a guy that was a mechanic at O'Mara's when I was working there. I don't really remember him before I got out of the military, but after I got out of the military, his name was Dick Ferris. And he really influenced my spiritual life. And you know, because of him, Elizabeth and I started going to the church where I now pastor. And so he had a great impact on my life.
Was there any...
the owner of the drugstore also did. You know, he had a pretty big impact on my life. And some of the pharmacists that worked there as well. One in particular, his name was Elmo Peters.
Okay. Was there any, like, specific life lessons or anything that they really taught you that you feel really helped you?
Well, you know, I don't guess so, other than Dick Ferris, you know, it's when I got involved in God's Word, and I trusted the Lord as my Savior, and so that was under his influence, so... You know, that radically changed my life. Al Winters used to tell me he was the owner of the drugstore and the pharmacist. He told me, I guess, hundreds of times, you know, at that time, you know, I could sell alcohol, I could do all kinds of things. He would tell me again and again, alcohol is made to sell, not to drink. But my dad was an alcoholic. I doubt that I ever would have started drinking anyway. So.
Okay. So how many siblings did you have, and what were they like?
Well, I can tell you how many I had. I had 14 brothers and sisters. I was the third and the oldest. My oldest brother went into the military when he was 15. My older sister, you know, went to University of Colorado and got a degree, but she was a teacher. She died very, very young of heart failure, of some kind of a heart attack. You know, I was in the military with two of my brothers. We were all in the 101st Airborne. We had some real experiences there. You know, on one occasion we got to, all three of us, jump out of the same airplane, parachute out of the same airplane. So that was really interesting. My sisters, I had nine sisters, the one I told you about, my younger sisters, we were not a close family, and we didn't interact with them a great deal in my life. So.
Okay. So you mentioned your dad was an alcoholic. Were there specific things that really impacted you on that topic?
Yep. Yeah, it's a pretty trying life in that situation. It seems so. It's pretty difficult. It's pretty hard to explain.
Okay. So, when you were in school, did you like it, or was it hard? Were there specific memories that you want to share?
Well, you know, I liked school all right, but mostly I liked, when I was in high school, mostly I liked the interaction with other people. And so, I did everything in high school, I guess if you were to talk about, you know, popular, I was really pretty popular, but I wasn't, I didn't have one group of friends. I was friends with everybody, and knew everybody and enjoyed everybody. I wasn't much of a student, though. I was able to get by, and that's what I did. So I didn't. That's what happened to me when I went to military. I went on to college, went to University of Colorado. I'd never studied. I didn't know how to study, and really, I hadn't seen the need to study. So I just got by, you know, and made decent grades, not great grades, and so. You know, high school was more of a good time than it was a time to learn.
Do you have any advice on how to make the most of high school instead of just making it fun time?
I taught high school for a long time, so yeah, you know, I have my advice would be to be serious about your studies. And to go beyond expectations and make high school a time of actual learning as opposed to the time of doing what you have to do to get by. There's many things that I didn't learn because I didn't, I just got by. And it was a definite disadvantage for me as I went into the went to the university, particularly that first year. And so I didn't know how to study, and I didn't have the background that I should have had. And so it was a consequence. It was tough for me. And I, when I first started, I didn't make it. It took me then 7 years to finish a bachelor's degree. You know, that's taking a military time out of it. So so I would say, you know, that we need to, you know, you need to make the most of high school. I think you should have a good time at the same time, but I think you should, you know, try to go through high school to prepare yourself for those years down the road. And, so that's my advice.
If you could go back and redo something that you did during your teenage years, what would it be and why?
I don't know. I don't have any longing to change anything. I think, you know, my life was it has been an exciting life, and the mistakes I made, I paid for, and so I don't know that I would change anything.
So, is there any specific life lessons that you really feel you wish you could have told yourself when you were younger?
I was involved in a group called Young Life, which was a Christian group. And when I was in high school, I went to that on a weekly, met every week. I went to it on a weekly basis, and I wish that I would have been more active in serving God and in pointing my life towards His will and His purpose when I was younger.
Okay, so when you met Da, my grandma, what was she like, and what were some things that you really admired about her?
Well, she was beautiful, but she was also bright, and she grew up with similar values that I had of honesty and of hard work and of treating people fairly and right, you know, treating them justly and right, and loving people. So she was, you know, when I met her, I knew that I wanted to marry her. almost immediately.
Okay. Do you think she changed you in any way or impacted how you looked at life?
I think everybody changes you. And she certainly, you know, changed me and had some very good very good traits and positions on things that moderated mine. And so she has been over the 50-some years we've been married, a very positive influence on my life.
So, how would you say, what's a good tip for a happy marriage that survives and lasts?
The best tip that I could give anybody for a happy marriage is to give your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and both parties, and put Him first in your life, and your husband or your wife second, and then your church, after that, and serve the Lord in fact as opposed to in name only. You know, I think that there are many Christians that are Christians in name only, but the thing that I think would make the biggest impact, not on every individual marriage and on our country, is if Christian values were followed.
So, when you eventually go to eternity, how will you want people on earth to remember you?
As a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, as honest, as loving, as caring.
So, what are your hopes and dreams for me and Heather in the future?
Pretty much the same thing. Throughout your lifetime, you put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life, that you love people, and that you care about people, and that you use your life as a servant and a helper of the world that's about us.
Thank you, Grandpa. It was really fun listening to your story.
Well, good. I'm sure you haven't heard all of that.
No, I have not. That was very interesting, and it was really informative and taught me a lot of good life lessons.
Okay, well, do a good job on what do you have to do with this?
Bye, Grandpa.
Yep, goodbye.
So, basically,